Chapter 88. Good Days. Professor Umbridge was more or less, eventually, fine. It turned out one side effect of the paralytic sleeping potion was vivid, horrifying dreams. Professor Umbridge's had apparently involved centaurs. Harry went by Professor Snape's office and quarters, but Professor Snape had apparently gone home for the summer. Harry, who hadn't even known Professor Snape had a home outside Hogwarts, took a bit of time on a sunny Sunday sitting by the lake to try to wrap his mind around that one. Did Professor Snape have a wife or children at his not-Hogwarts home? Did he have a cat? No. Maybe a snake? A fish? A murderous garden like Sirius? Did he live in a city or in the countryside? The south of Wales or someplace nearby in Scotland? The mind boggled. "Hello, Harry," Draco said lightly, sitting down next to him. "A little bird told me you're not roommates with the Dark Lord any longer." "No, seems like not. Turns out people who aren't a little bit sociopaths need to occlude with emotions, not by shutting their emotions out."
"Don't call me a sociopath, Harry."
"You've been learning occlumency?"
"Yes, ever since you mentioned it, in fact. You aren't the only person who can check out a library book."
Draco sounded very peaceful, even pleased. "I would have thought you'd be a little cross about your father being in prison," Harry said cautiously.
"Oh, I hate it, but it could be a great deal worse. His reputation really won't suffer with any of the public this way. I can't speak for his dignity, of course."
"I don't really understand."
"Do you know how Professor Snape is?"
"Oh, Harry thought maybe he did understand."
"He's a little under the weather. He went home. To his house."
Draco threw a stone into the lake.
"Not sure I ever really pictured him having a house, to be honest," Draco said.
"I saw him wearing a hat this year," Harry offered. "It was snowing out." They sat in silence for a while, watching the sun shimmer on the water, and contemplated their teacher.
"Draco," Harry said slowly, "with everything, when was the first time you looked into the future and knew you'd kill someone someday?"
"I suppose I must have been very small. I don't really remember. I knew from the time I was too young to ride a broomstick that some people didn't understand my father, and that strong men fought their enemies."
"How do you wrap your mind around it, knowing you're going to have to kill someone specific?"
"I've never known I had to kill someone specific, just general willingness."
Harry waited patiently.
"If I figure that one out," Draco said, gray eyes distant, as he threw another stone into the water, hair gleaming white gold, "I'll let you know."
"Draco," said an abrupt voice.
Harry glanced around. Crab. He remembered Crab's father being at the Department of Mysteries with Mr. Malfoy.
"Vince," Draco said lazily, "want to pull up a stone? We were just talking about our plans to murder each other's allies."
Draco, Harry thought, was amazing at telling the truth.
"I'd rather murder him right here."
Draco stood, putting a hand on Crab's arm.
"Witnesses, Vince, witnesses. Let's go practice instead. I'll see you soon, Potter."
Crab grunted, but allowed Draco to lead him away. The sun set as Harry sat, watching the lake and thinking about being a murderer. Sure, he'd realized in a vague way that most of the adult wizards he'd looked up to were murderers or attempted murderers. But somehow, he thought he'd be able to skip it. He didn't know if his parents had been murderers. He hoped not, somehow. Eventually, he went inside. "Dear Harry, I don't really know where to start, but Remus says I should write you a note even if I'm angry. I've gotten most of the story now from Dumbledore,
The worst part about all this is suddenly I know how adults felt about me and James throwing ourselves into reckless stunts at your age. It was funnier when I did it. That basilisk fang worked just fine to destroy the locket. Mentioned it to Dumbledore, and he said it was a good decision, and that he might call upon me to assist him with tracking down more of Voldemort's cursed items to destroy. Can't hurt to clean up after the man a little. The Ministry's been very cooperative about my sentence. I guess the offer of time served is back on the table. But they want to do it properly with an actual trial this time. I didn't bring them Wormtail, but there were a pile of Death Eaters stunned in their lobby for them, and Remus was quick to point out the terms of the old agreement. So I'm in holding, which mostly means I'm partnering with Kingsley for the Order, since he's my erstwhile jailer. Funny how things turn out. Still can't visit, what with being under arrest, but I think it's progress. Kingsley says hello. See you at home later this summer. We'll have a flaming row, and then how about hot chocolate? Sirius.